People and Places, with your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the newest SEMA. You came out here just to get everything, and you found it right here. We're Shift and Stare. Woo! Welcome to SEMA 2018. So we're going to roll right into this because we have been here just a few hours, and we've already seen so much great stuff. Matt, now I know you already went for a ride in a Roush Mustang, didn't you?
That got postponed. I'm going to do it right after this, but we've been running around and doing more interviews and seeing some pretty cool stuff. And I know all the cars are great, but I haven't stopped to look at any of the cars yet. I've just been looking at the parts.
Because you still need parts, that's why.
And I'm telling you, the coolest stuff keeps happening. You forget that this is a part show, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
This is a part show. And one of the one things I picked up on real quick was how technology is playing such a part in everything. I literally sat down with the guys from Comp Performance Group, and they own TCI Transmissions. And he's like, oh, no, now you just take your phone and you can completely control your transmission on the fly via Bluetooth while you're driving it. You want harder shift points, less shift points.
Wow.
And you can just do it all on the fly.
If you don't have a smartphone, you can't have a smart car.
I'm telling you, right.
No, so you should have a smart foot for that.
Does it have to be a smartphone? It's just a phone now, right? Because they're all pretty much...
Yeah. I don't know. My mom has kind of a dumb phone.
So, I don't even call mine a phone anymore.
Don't say that about yourself, Brad.
I haven't made a phone call on it in years.
Aaron, what'd you see? What got your eyeballs excited here?
Well, when I'm wearing my glasses, I can see a lot more. So, no, you know, I'm just making the rounds. Last year, we were so busy, I didn't get to see anything. So today, you know, instead of people coming and saying hi to me, I'm trying to go out and say hi to them. So we went by all our sponsors and partners and said hello. I haven't taken one picture yet today, though. Not one picture.
Well, we all know that you walk around this show, and you will say to your friend, did you see the such and such? And you're like, I didn't see that. You walked right past it. And my buddy from Man Seeks Adventure, the other podcast that I do, Dave Merrick, he's over at Honda and Acura, and they have a full-size side-by-side they built on a Ridgeline chassis.
Oh
now,
gosh.
I wouldn't have gone back all the way back there yet, but I went back there earlier and checked it out, and it's like, oh, I would like to drive that.
Yeah.
You know, that looks fun. How about you, Mike? What have you seen?
Oh, I've seen a lot this morning. I've been pulled from pillar to post, but it's been fantastic. The one thing that to pick up on what Matt said with technology is the amount of 3D printed parts there
are. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just bowled over by it. I mean, there's a Mustang that's over opposite the Motor Trend booth, and it's a 65 Mustang, and they've 3D printed the whole dash, the dash pad, the grill at the front, even the engine cover is all free, and it all works. Everything works, and it's so good. That technology is so good because if you are missing a part and you can't find a part, like a 1965 Plymouth won't have an air cleaner. You can't find one; they don't exist anymore. If you want to find one online, people want like $500 just for an air cleaner because they're that rare. Those guys print them. They just print an air cleaner.
You just need the file.
So what we could do is we could have a 3D printed phone so that we could take all this technology.
Or 3D print us.
Oh, no, we don't want duplicates of us.
Like Westworld.
True story, we had a 3D print company come by the studio to show us what they can do. And our producer, Chris Loxamana, CarCast producer, they scanned him with an iPad.
Oh, yeah.
They photo scanned them, and then they printed them.
A smaller
version. And
that's
who's here this weekend.
Even a
smaller version. Because Chris had other things to do.
So I just have a 3D printed producer this weekend.
Oh, that's awesome.
Not a real
So check this out.
Nice.
So I was at Lincoln over in Ohio last week, and they showed me a 3D printer that they use with a welding system out of metal. So they're actually making full metal usable parts.
Well, that's next on our list.
That's the good stuff.
Printer.
Technology is going wild on us.
So let's talk about something that's not 3D technology, that's not parts at the show, because we have a guest here.
Yes.
Mike Brewer. Everybody wants to know, Mike, what is next on Wheeler Dealers? Some of the other projects you're working on.
Yeah, no, I'm working on quite a few projects at the moment. Wheeler Dealers, I'm pleased to say, Discovery Channel, Velocity and Motor Trend, they've just commissioned the longest run in its history. So we are currently 8 shows into making 27 new episodes in 1 year. So I hope, it got an applaud.
Now, this
one
is year 15? 16?
This is 16.
16 years.
16th year.
Yeah. 16 years.
So a few more applause.
One of the originals.
16 seasons of making this show, and it never tires, and the audience just keeps growing season on season. And they're very pleased with it, our network and our bosses, and it's going fantastic at the moment.
So they're going to have to 3D print you so that you can do all the work.
That's what I mean. I need a 3D printed version of me. So that show, we're working tirelessly hard currently at the moment. In fact, Ant is in the workshop filming this morning, and he's arriving later on this afternoon, and he's here just for tomorrow, and then he has to get back. We both have to get back because we're filming Thursday and Friday. The deadlines are tight, but we are knocking some amazing shows out the park at the moment. Everyone's delighted with the way the series is looking. We opened up with a Capri, a Volvo 850, T5R, some really cool cars, and I'm delighted with it.
I watched the Alpha episode because, you know, I like Alphas. So.
Yeah, the Alpha one was... I think that was one of our highest rated shows ever.
Oh, really?
Alpha episode.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Because I've been trying to sell mine.
I was just going to say, don't bring up the Alpha because then he'll be trying to sell it here on stage.
Yeah. I'm just going to bring it over to your shop and leave it there.
Yes, please. I'll have it.
Dave, we have two wheeler dealers here. They're both trying to sell the cars. Hey, just joined us is Dave Merrick. Now, Dave does another show with me called Man Seeks Adventure. So we brought him up here and he's just going to throw in a few things here and there.
I can't
he doesn't know much
a
about
word
cars.
Mike said.
Yeah.
Hello. My auntie, the Queen, gave me this language, and I'm sorry I can't undo it. It only took you lot to ruin it. That's what it did. Aluminum.
American.
Now, to introduce Dave, he doesn't know a lot about cars, but he is the head of global design for Acura and Honda, so I guess he does once in a while.
That's the shortened version of his title.
It took me about 20 minutes from like three booths up to get here.
Yeah. We just mentioned the side-by-side over there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
on a Ridgeline chassis,
it's
right?
It's the Rove, rugged off-road vehicle. Yeah, the thing's crazy.
Now, Mike, did you have a big announcement today that you made?
No, the announcement is being made tomorrow. So it's at the Westgate Theatre, 3:30. It's a free event. Anyone can go tomorrow afternoon, 3:30, over at the Westgate Theatre. There's a big announcement from Velocity.
What is the announcement going
to
be?
Well, I'm not allowed to tell you what the announcement's going to be.
I thought
I'm
I could allowed. Trick him
no,
into
no,
that.
We won't tell.
Is my boss is over there, and he's going, absolutely no way. Say what it's going to be.
Saying it should have worn a necktie. That's what he's saying.
The clue is in the fact that it's a Velocity/Motor Trend event. So there may be some kind of shift change with the global name for what will become Discovery Channel's car output. So it makes sense, and I'm sure Andy won't mind me saying this, but Velocity is an amazing network, and we're blessed to work on Velocity. But around the world, the name Velocity doesn't translate. So in Spain, for instance, there's no such word for Velocity. In Poland, in Uruguay, in Russia, there's no such word. So you need to find a more global name, like Discovery, to make a global platform, and that will be announced tomorrow by my bosses and not by me, but I'm there, and it's a free event. Anyone can turn up tomorrow. That's free. Anyone can turn up 3:30 tomorrow afternoon at the Westgate Theatre. I want one of them. That's what I want.
That's an interesting point, isn't it? That Velocity doesn't translate in all languages. That's a very interesting.
Yeah, it's like there's some cars as well. There's some cars. There's a car in England called a Vauxhall Nova.
Yeah,
and it was a disaster in Spain because it means Nova means no go.
Yeah,
so it was a Vauxhall no go. In Spain. So you have to think as a manufacturer or brand, you have to think up today with the world we live in with digital media.
Yeah.
You have to think up a global brand name.
Well, it's
go ahead. Oh, I just said interesting.
Well, it's like a brewer in English in the United States version, not the Queen's English.
It means beer.
It translates to overworked.
Yes.
No, it means beer.
I'm making beer. Yes, that's a brewer to me.
Exactly. Well, it was my forefathers, and I'm pleased to say this. It was my forefathers that gave us all beer. And the earliest time it gets mentioned is in 1066, there was a census of England, and the king sent out all his lords and said, I want to know what is England, what is it? So they went out and found the amount of thatchers, bakers, butchers, tailors, and brewers they had in the country. And that's the first time the name gets written down, brewer, and it's the person that gives you beer.
So this just turned into a Man Seeks Adventure episode, Matt.
Yeah.
Wow. This really is Discovery Channel.
It is. I told you. I'm on point.
Today.
I thought Sumerians invented beer.
They probably did, but we just made it like in a glass and served it to somebody.
Okay, dilly. I got to bring this all back around to cars, guys.
Okay. Oh, yeah,
we're talking about cars. We have Mike Brewer up here. Shift and steer, everybody. And Matt, now, we were talking about some of the builds and some of the craziness that goes on. Mike Brewer does this every single episode. I've been through the builds. I've done a lot of builds. And you look around here, and you see these guys that are walking around, and it's usually the guy, the builders with the dark circles under their eyes.
Right.
You know, they're kind of walking like zombies. It's not Halloween. It's because they just did a SEMA build.
Yeah.
And they've been up for the last 42 hours. How do you do that show after show? Is it you hand that part off to Ant?
No, it's absolutely exhausting, honestly. And we are those guys with rings under our eyes. We work tirelessly every day in the shop, and you know, we have Ant in the shop, and previously it was Ed, and you would have seen that's the content you see on screen. But once the camera is cut and we are progressing on with a part on a car, all of us jump in. It'd be me that jumps in. It'd be the sound recordist. The cameraman put a camera down, and we're all working on the cars together. And we have a very tight deadline. As I say, our bosses just ordered 27 shows. And we're trying to make 27 shows in the same time it took us to make 18. So we're working on a very, very tight deadline. But, you know, we love what we do. We laugh every single day. We laugh to the point of tears. I have a strict rule in the workshop. If you're not enjoying it, go. Just leave. You have to turn up every day with that impetus that you just want to get through the day and enjoy it as much as you possibly can. And at the moment, the crew that we've got, the team that we've got, and the way that we're working in the shop, the show's never felt better. And it really is just flying at the moment. It's amazing. And the energy that's in the workshop every day is just incredible.
But I mean, seriously, this guy, I'll get a text from him sometimes. And you know, just be, we're chatting back and forth about something, and I'll go, well, hey, you want to meet up tomorrow or something like that? And he'll go, well, no, I'm still at the studio. I'll go, Mike, it's 12:30 at night. And he's like, yeah, I know, I'm going to go home in a couple hours.
Yeah, we work long hours. We work very hard at it. But, you know, the studio's got no windows, so it's a bit like a Las Vegas casino. It's got no windows, so you don't know what's outside. So we never know when it gets dark or when it gets light.
That's cool.
You know, you get the producer just coming and go, another coffee, Mike? Would you like another coffee?
Enablers.
Yeah. You know when it's getting on, the day's getting on, because there's a thing in television called second meal allowance.
Oh.
So you're just realised that where did these pizzas turn up from? Oh, it must be that time. It must be 10 o'clock at night, and we're still here.
So they have one PA, Matt, that just sets the clocks back.
Yeah, well, do you scratch the days into the wall Count of Monte Cristo?
Yeah, I was telling my boss, no, I etch, like, I carve on the wall every day, and then put a stripe through it.
That's what I mean.
Like in a prison cell. Yeah.
So I've got a question for you. So everything on the show gets tidied up. Do you have any plans on kind of leaving something as a barn find or a rat rod or a...
Yeah, no? we have done. We did a Dodge A100 van last season.
Oh, that's right.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was still pretty tidy.
It was really tidy.
Yeah. We did a lot of fabrication underneath, changed all the geometry, the suspension. We made it look really cool. And then, but we left the patina on the outside.
True.
I've got an amazing car that's coming up, and I'm...
Tomorrow? You know,
not tomorrow.
He's got two to do before that, Dave.
Yeah, don't worry, I'll knock one up this afternoon. No, I've got an amazing car coming up. And at the moment, in our world where we are, and we attend a lot of car events and auctions, originality is what people are chasing today.
Huge.
Huge. I mean, it's massive. In fact, original cars are making 10-20% more than a restored car.
As they should.
As they should, and because they're only original once. And I just bought a 1971 Fiat 124 Spider, and it's a complete survivor car. It's got chips, marks, bumps on it.
Well, there's only one.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And people would instantly look at that car and go, we'll paint it. But no, this car is telling a wonderful story just as it is. And I'm leaving it just as it is. And perfect. I'm going to sell it to my buddy right there, Mr. Chris Jacobs, ladies and gentlemen.
Chris Jacobs.
Yeah. Well, you know, Matt, you could print an original one.
Chris, and, you're on my flight.
3D print one. And it'd be original every time you print it.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's true. They're only original ones, folks. And I'm definitely an advocate of patina. And there's nothing like it. But when they're burnt by the sun and you know, perished, as you call them. Even the seats nowadays, they're not even doing the seats. You know, it used to be kind of an outlaw thing where you leave the bodies funky, but you'd completely renovate them inside and make nice interior. But now I'm seeing them even with cracks in the seat and the foam erupting and the mouse hair coming out. And
Black Widows.
Well, yeah, those two. Yeah,
yeah.
those are extra.
There was two Ferraris went through Bonhams last year. They were both blue. They were almost sister cars. One of them sold for $2.75 million, and then the next car that came through was the sister car, but had been in a fire. And it was in a fire in 1969, then stored in a warehouse and left. Wow. And they pulled it out. It still had the soot on it. All the engine wiring was melted. The dash top was melted. And it was just looked like a car that had been in a fire, and it went through, and it made $2.9 million.
Right?
Yes,
with the opposite fire of a fire sale.
I'm going to light my car on fire when I get home.
Me too. Incredible, incredible.
Well, there's been some gullwing Mercedes like that. And so if you know Aaron, if you listen to Shift and Steer, you know that this is music to his ears because that's he loves.
Well, it's less
junk.
Work.
Not shit.
It's old car.
I don't have to do anything. I just
hey, I'll take your junk. I'll take it.
Matt, I mean, with your buddy Adam Carolla, who you work with.
Yeah.
I mean, he finds the old race cars, but he doesn't leave them. He calls it, he wants safety factor, right?
Yeah.
He wants a race car. Yeah.
Well, we do as the people that he employs. So we want
so that he can continue to employ
to keep employ us, yeah. But it's a different world in the car racing world because
yeah, they won't let
the racing cars have been rebuilt so many times anyway that it's not like when you're putting a Corvette or something together where you're looking for every, you know, a paint
authentic
mark or something, you know, every chalk mark or paint mark or serial number or anything that's on there. Where in the racing cars, it's a little bit different.
Every piece of zip tie and duct tape, right?
Well, and the sanctioning body won't let you do it. There, you have to be safe.
Right. I mean, we are looking for some originality with chassis numbers and any sort of identifying numbers, but the story is the most important part of that. Yeah. And as that car goes through its life, it may get a brass tag put on the roll bar that indicated it did a Trans Am race, and that's the piece you want.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that racing heritage.
Yeah,
and well, provenance. You get the provenance.
Yes,
of the car.
Provenance. Yeah, yes.
I mean, and now we can even add to that some of these vintage racing events are so prestigious that if you attend those with a vintage car, that becomes a thing. If you go to Goodwood and you do the Goodwood race or the Goodwood Hill Climb and they put that oval sticker in your window,
you leave it.
You want that.
You
That's now worth more money now.
Yeah,
like you want
that. So I've got a question, and maybe Dave is the right person to answer this because he works for a manufacturer. how does it fit with these guys that have just gone and bought these Jaguar XKSSs, the nine missing chassis numbers, they were built at the factory, they were built by Jaguar employees, they've got Jaguar chassis number stamps, they come with a new Jaguar registration, they are fundamentally 1962 Jaguar SSs, but built in 2017. Yeah. All the owners of those cars, they paid, what, $2 million each for them. The owners of those cars have been told they're not allowed to enter them in events like Goodwood.
Because it's not authentic.
Because it's not authentic. Yeah. But
Is it or isn't it?
You know, what's the rule?
I think that when you do a next-gen, like 4GT, you admit that it's now a new one. And then I mean, those guys with the Jags, they should just do their own series and go.
It's authentic with an asterisk.
But
I mean, seriously, it's authentic with an asterisk. It's continuation.
But it was built by the same people.
I agree.
On the same factory floor. And they even had, me and Michelle did a visit last year, and we see them just being finished off, they even had two of the old guys they'd bought back. That bought them back, that showed them how to, you know, do the English wheel work. And they were working on you know, they were authentic. They were real. They were actual Jaguar cars. And then, you know, as an owner, you find out you just spent $2 million because you want to join an exclusive club.
Well, but I think
the club you're joining means that you get to, get on the lawn at Goodwood Festival of Speed. And all of a sudden, Lord March and that party say, no, actually,
no,
it's
a
fake. You're not coming.
Well, I'll give you an example, Mike, is that at Pebble, we judged Oscars. And there were, like, 20 of them. I mean, like, it's had to be every one in the world. And what it was the Phil Hill trophy.
Yeah.
So before we went out, this is Jackie Stewart. It's yep. You know, it's all these guys sitting at my table. And I go, well, this is easy. And they go, why? I go, let's just pick the one Phil Hill drove, which there was only one. Yeah. So I think that's the difference with the Jags. Is no, there's nobody that really, you know, there was no
Norman
Sterling Moss in
it. Yeah, if you've got Norman Jewis behind the wheel or Sterling behind the wheel.
And you would have said that's what it is.
Then he gets his little brass tag.
And yours is Paul Newman. So that's why
it's
different.
Look, we went to Rennsport for the first time ever. We brought the Paul Newman car up there, which was the Ray Hall Apple computer car and Brian Redman. And we didn't even know there was a concourse going on at the time. Our mechanic brought the car up there. He's like, they want us to show the car. We're like, just bring it up there and show the car. Whatever. We're going to sit here and drink a couple beers. And then we hear our name up there. And we're like, oh, you won this award at Rennsport for having the coolest car. I was like, and it's exactly what you said. It was like, all their cars are nicer. This one, we've driven it.
But Paul Newman drove it.
No, but Paul Newman drove it.
Paul Newman drove that one. Yeah.
And then Bobby Rahal drove it.
And it won this and won this.
But won his class of Le Mans and won Sebring and won Daytona. Like,
arguably, it's one of the nicest 935s.
Yeah, it is pretty. It is pretty.
But guys, this has been going on in the car world forever. I mean, you all know that I'm a muscle car fanatic. And like my Baldwin Motion car, I've had guys look at my Baldwin Motion car, which it was never touched. And they'll look at it and they'll go, oh, well, that wasn't, well, no, it was a muscle car. On Thursday when they didn't have that part, they used the one that was on the shelf.
Yeah.
And it's like the cars that came off the assembly line, if they needed to substitute a part, they substituted a part to get it down the assembly line. Yeah. And you'll have these guys who are experts, and they didn't work on the assembly line, though, you know. And so we've been dealing with this forever. It's the nature of the car world, and that's part of what makes it really interesting why all these people are here today.
I met this company at Rennsport that I can't remember their name, but they've got Porsche 911s. They bought 11 McLaren Formula One engines. Each engine has been in a race, competed, and they are substituting the turbo engine out of a 930 Porsche and putting in a V10 Formula One engine. Charging $1 million for each car.
And Mike, I asked you not to talk about my new project here.
So charging $1 million. But when I was standing there staring up the car that they had, it was the, so this is the bit, what people buy into. Alain Prost won the Belgium Grand Prix with that engine, and it's now slung in the back of your German Porsche. And, you know, you've got that kudos, haven't you? You've got that little brass plaque that says that engine's got a story to tell. But it is living in your car.
That's the tag motor, right? It's not the...
Yeah. It is the tag motor.
Yeah, it's the tag motor.
I think they're 1.5.
Because I was
going to
say, you know, most of... You know, the Honda motor.
They're
Honda motor and a Porsche, that would be amazing.
Yes. They're 1.5 liter V8s.
Yes, they are.
And in a race...
It's a tag motor.
And they're 700 or something horsepower.
When they were 900 horsepower, they detuned them, haven't they?
Yeah, but they were also... They were 1,000.
They were incredible. Yeah, it was...
But they're this big, which is cool. It's like,
what's interesting is that... You're right. I forgot the name of the company that's reproducing those, but they did build one Porsche prototype back in the day. That was the inspiration for the 11. Right. Yeah. Is when they had that motor.
Well, they ran it in a 956. They put that motor in everything.
And so there was a 911 with that motor in it. That it was only rumor. Like, nobody's seen the car.
The next 935.
Yeah, and here we are dozens of years later. So, like, no, we actually did have that car. We just never take it out or show it or anything. Yeah. And they're like, can we borrow it and copy it? They're like, what's in it for us? They're like, I don't know, a lot of money, I guess. Like, and that's what it sort of snowballed into. But yeah, it's really expensive. There's only 11. It's going to have a really tiny, awesome engine.
But will it be allowed at Goodwood?
Hey, I don't know.
That's the point.
The engine will be.
And speaking of Formula One engines, did any of you guys see there was a thing on Instagram or something about a Ducati?
No.
V8?
Yeah.
Motor that they only made one prototype of.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how that thing sounded?
Yeah, but it sounded amazing.
Ducati motorcycles, right? So they made a prototype motor. I don't know, the heads looked like it was probably from the 70s, but they made a real small liter. You know, like 200 horsepower. That's it. It was like 200 horsepower.
And what do you suppose the
V8 Ducati F1 motor?
What do you suppose the maintenance interval is on that?
Well, that's why they only made one.
you want to take that motor in an Alfa?
Let me tell you. Yeah. But 200 horsepower, it's about right. But imagine how that thing must have sounded. There's some
amazing.
great motors out there.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, let me tell you a little bit about Amsoil. First off, let's talk about Amsoil. You know why I like AMSOIL? Because they're a bunch of car people. They're gearheads. They're into all kinds of power sports, and basically, they get it. Recently, AMSOIL created a guide to increasing horsepower in your vehicle. It has insider tips from some of the best in the business on coaxing more power out of your engine. You can get your free copy at AMSOIL.com/shift. That's AMSOIL.com/shift. While there, find out more about AMSOIL synthetic motor oil as well, like how AMSOIL's signature series synthetic motor oil delivers 75% more engine protection against horsepower loss and wear than required by a leading industry standard. So just go to AMSOIL.com/shift and get your free insider's guide to increasing horsepower. It's AMSOIL.com/shift. All right, real quick, let me tell you guys about Continental Belts. You've heard us talk about this before. You know, if you think of all the weird things that you find in cars, I'm not talking about French fries and melted crayons. I'm talking about live snakes, bizarre trinkets, the kind of stuff that makes you just wonder about folks. Well, another thing that'll make you wonder, but in a good way, are Continental Belts. I bet you didn't know that they're OE in tens of millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles that roll off the assembly line. They're also OE in a majority of BMWs and VWs. Now, Continental is launching the aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. This is that serpentine belt that's on every single car now. It's their OE technology series, belts that are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function. And Continental has an OE technology series multi-V belt for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. So listen, you get enough surprises working on your cars and trucks already. A belt shouldn't be one of them. Go with the Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V Belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, visit oetechnologyseries.com.
The sound of motors is one of the things that we don't get to hear at SEMA. We were just up front, and there's the display car up here that Doug has, and I said, well, I want to hear it. But Rich ran up really quick from Magnaflow and said, no, you can't start it here on the floor. Because we already got into trouble for something, yeah. And we don't want to get in trouble again.
Go out front. Of course, I'm running around, and right when somebody calls, they're like, what's that noise? It's like it's Justin Pollock and his Roush Mustang. And he's just sitting there doing, just spinning around.
Discovery have put their hospitality suite right on the edge of the track. So, and they take me over there for a meeting. And you're standing there, and outside you go, camera. And nobody can, is the worst.
Yeah, we did a live show out there a few years ago, and it was terrible.
Well, you got to do it like at start. You do it at the start, and then when they're on the back straight, you're talking.
You have to have 10 laps and you're screwed. But
so what's funny is Goldberg's got his car out there. He's going to be here, I think, tomorrow. We do CarCast with him, and he's got in the Magnaflow booth outside. He's got one of his Hellcats out there that's all modified, and it's showing the coilover suspension. And I told him, I said, hey. Two years ago, I had my car out there. I said, the one thing you forget is all that shit coming off that Ford proving ground is going to be all over your car. And I just walked out there. Those poor cars are just covered. They were covered in dirt and rubber.
He's aiming at your car.
Rubber, man. It's
just
rubber.
Other difference between Goldberg's car being out there and Matt's?
He drove his.
And you could drive it in the future, too.
Is that car
all done, right?
It was
2 years ago. It's all done,
Matt.
Your Fox body.
I'm going to LS swap it.
It's got cool wheels.
It's evolving.
You know, I knock out a car every 2 weeks, and you're still doing that?
Oh, yeah. It's been about 2 years.
Mike, you've heard of that million-dollar Mustang, right? Yes. Well, we call his the million-day Mustang because it's still not done.
Yeah. The amount of days and the amount of money are very similar.
Exactly. That happens.
In here, it's not the sound.
As you say that,
see,
it's clearly the sound.
We've got a really nice crowd here. You'll be listening to this at home.
But they're in line for a signature.
No. This is a crowd, okay? Don't ruin it.
See how they're all facing that way?
I know. Come on. No, we could sign autographs.
I want to know. By the way, big thanks for here. Leah Pritchett for making everybody listen to our show.
Is it Leah?
Exactly. Yeah. Leah, hey, it's Dave Merrick.
Richard Petty, because she was there a minute
who
ago.
Who listens to Wheel? I mean, who watches Wheeler Dealer?
Yes, look at
let's
that.
Hear it, though.
Yes.
Woo! This is a audio format.
That's very nice. Very nice. Thank you.
That's the Alex Trebek show?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wheeler Dealer?
Yes.
Wheeler Dealer, yeah. There was a film, Wheeler Dealer.
It's a plumbing show. Yes.
Oh. So, Mike, you guys just launched a Wheeler Dealer France? Is that what it was?
Yes. There's a French version of Wheeler Dealers, which I've consulted for and appeared in a couple of times. Actually, quite incredibly, Wheeler Dealers is now the largest car show in the world here, you know, globally. But the French show has just gone crazy, and
really?
It's huge
is
in
it
France.
Renamed?
Is it a wee bit bigger?
Yes, it's just called Wheeler Dealers.
It's Wheelie's Wheeler Screw You?
Wheeler Dealer.
And the, Wheeler Dealer.
They're really good. The two guys, the two hosts, are really faithful to the format. They're not changing it any way. They've got a really good mix of cars, and they're knocking it out. They're just absolutely. Nice. They've had the highest rated show ever on their on that network in France. It's the highest rated show. So I'm really pleased. And now there's an Italian version. It's called Affari da Quattro Rotte, which
easy for you
Wheeler Dealers in Italian.
I had that for lunch.
And, They've got two hosts out there hosting the, and you know, me and Ant and the team are just over the moon that this franchise is expanding globally and around the world. And you know, Wheeler Dealers created car flipping shows. It was the very first car flipping show in the world, and we created the content that now everyone enjoys on TV. And to see it being copied by itself, you know, around the world is just a thrill, you know, because everybody else has copied it. Why not?
Well, I have a question then. So, speaking of translating, how does the word or the phrase fiddly bits translate to French and Italian?
Ready?
Or crikey?
Fiddly or, bits. or in Italian, it's hey!
So when you go on the show, you just have those different accents. You go, we'll take the Renault and we will...
Yeah, no, seriously, me and Michelle went there this summer and I was filming on Wheeler Dealer France and they're all French, everyone's speaking French, but they
funny
somehow...
How that works.
They somehow think because, and this is weird, because Wheeler Dealers plays in France and it's translated, so there's a subtitle. Yeah. Everyone thinks I can speak French. So when I turn up at the studio, they go, bonjour, Mick, la zibudia fleuribu, and they're all talking to me and I haven't got a clue what anyone's saying, but they just assume that I can speak French because they've heard me speak French on a translation. And they instantly get me to learn phrases and sentences and paragraphs in French and Italian and get
awesome.
Me to say them back to the camera. And
awesome.
It's like a crash course in learning a different language. Honestly, I forget it straight away because I have to clear my brain ready for the next one that comes in. But yeah, it's incredible. I mean, it is incredible.
So you're only cool. fluent in subtitles.
So I'm subtitled in Italy as well. They subtitled the show in Italy. And when me and Michelle went to Milan earlier on this year to do the Italian version of Wheeler Dealers, everyone, it must be on their national television. It must be the religion or law that you have to watch Wheeler Dealers. Because I could not walk in this building in Italy. Every single person knew me. Everyone.
Awesome.
I mean, literally
awesome.
Everyone. And
I get that.
And again, because I'm translated, I was stood in the street with lines of people having these amazing conversations with me in Italian with lots of hand movements. And I'm just smiling and saying, yes, thank you. Yeah, really nice. I really appreciate it.
Well, I know how it feels.
Ciao. Yeah. Grazie mille. And I was getting away with it. I think I was getting away with it. But no,
everybody in that country is like, Mike is so nice. He didn't answer one of our questions.
Yes, I know.
He
didn't.
No, so nice. Smiled the whole time.
So, Mike, you're wrapping up. I mean, you're just continuing with more shows. You told us at the top of the show you've added more episodes.
Yeah, so we've added more episodes. I'm also talking to Discovery Networks about another series of Trading Up. So my series where I blow around the world and I trade up cars. So we're talking about another series of that.
That's perfect. I have an Alpha and I need a Ferrari.
He's got a Mustang if you want one.
At the moment, we are sort of looking. I look at them and it's like going into an Apple store where you've got a broken phone and you hand it to a guy and says, my phone's broken. And he looks at you and goes, oh, no, but it's amazing. It's an Apple phone and you're so lucky. And they're just smiling at you all the time. I keep saying to my bosses at Discovery, where are we going to find the time for me to do another series? And they keep going, yeah, I know, it's great, isn't it? And we're going to make this other show. And they want me to make that in England.
We solved that problem,
didn't
we?
They want me to make that in England. So I've asked them, am I now doing night shift? Is that how the way it's going to work?
Yeah.
Give me some love, brother.
Hey, Gary in the house.
It's fantastic. I'm also hosting Barrett Jackson auctions. You may have seen on Discovery and Velocity.
A Barrett what?
Barrett Jackson.
Those car auction things.
Things. They're really good.
Sell Hot Wheels.
I've posted a few of those. And, you know, after 21 years of TV, my appetite for it never wanes. I just want to keep delivering good car content, want to keep delivering a message. I'm not the star. The car is the star. And if we keep making the car the star of the program, long may it continue. It's true.
That's fantastic.
So, Trading Up, is that about cars? Or
yeah, so I did two seasons of Trading Up. I started off in Calcutta in India.
Of course you did.
With $300, and I bought a Suzuki A to Z Atos. And I bought a Suzuki, and then I traded it for a Marina for $800. And then I traded that car for a Hindustan Ambassador for like $1,500. And then I shifted the Hindustan Ambassador to England, sold it with the profit, bought a Land Rover. And I did this in Italy, Spain, Brazil, Dubai. I ended up going all around the world, and I end up a Ferrari 348.
Wow.
TB that owed me $300. So that's all I ever paid for it was $300. Awesome. And it was all real. I was thrown in at deep end. I come up with the idea. They said do it. And we created this show all around the world. And at the end, I gave the car away in a competition. They're asking me to do it again.
Oh, wait a minute. If you gave that car away, you lost money at the end of the show.
I lost $300, yes.
We've got to bring our next guest up.
Not going. Find another chair.
Dave, you're out of here.
Last in, first out.
If you want to stick around, you can.
I'll stick around. I don't mind.
Okay.
I've got nothing to do for another hour.
Because we've got another mic. Bring Ken Lingenfelter up. Let's hear a nice applause for Ken.
Hey, Ken.
Now, if you have been to the back of the building, Ken Lingenfelter has a beautiful booth back there. I was back there. Ken, I really apologize for drooling on all your motors back there, okay? I saw the guy following me wiping them off.
Would you like to trade up, Ken?
I can do that for you.
Any of you guys are welcome anytime, believe me.
So, let's do one of those. I'll start with a cigarette lighter, and we'll end up with a Lingenfelter motor.
I got a How's phone. That? It's a company.
By the end of the show.
Somebody actually started off with a paperclip and ended up with a house.
I remember that.
Yeah,
it was online, right, wasn't it?
Well, this works out because
I watch that.
Brad for a ZR1.
Yes. Hey, there you go. Yeah. I think I'm getting the wrong end of that.
Anybody have a paperclip?
So, Ken, how are you today?
I'm doing great. This is an amazing show. Yeah, I get to come here once a year, you know, we get all set up, get to see people I haven't seen in a year, get to look at all the new stuff, have people come in and take a look at what we've done. And
I thought you meant this is an amazing.
I thought he meant us too, but
yeah, I did. Yeah.
You get to see our annual friends.
Yep. No, it's truly a good day.
I heard there's 200,000 people here today.
I'm not surprised. Trying to get here to be here on time, you know.
Definitely the busiest Tuesday I've ever known.
Yeah,
it is.
It is. It's packed. I mean, look at the aisles. Can't even get through.
Yeah.
So Ken, I went back to your booth, was walking around, and I seriously was like, you've got that row of motors down the center. Yeah. Tell us about each one of them.
Well, let me tell you something. This is a great time to be in the performance car business, believe me. I mean, there's some really, really, really good stuff in there. And, you know, depending on what somebody wants to do, a customer wants to do, whether they want a drag race or road race or go to car shows and open hood and beat on their chest, you know, it's got all of those things. So there are some wonderful engines there. You know, each one of them, we're finding that the new LT engines that General Motors has built, in fact, to be honest with you, we're a little afraid of them because we were so good at LS engines over the years, and all of a sudden we're going to have this new platform and everything else back around 2013, 14, but We got some early engines. They came out in the pickup trucks initially, that the Silverados bought a couple trucks. And outside of a little bit of people wondering what we were doing and the embarrassment of maybe having pickup trucks at the drag strip, we were ready to go.
If you haven't gone to his booth, this is in there.
That's a favorite car.
Dude,
yeah. That
Grand Sport Corvette.
Grand Sport replica that it's Super awesome. Performance built. And we had the engine and drivetrain. And licensed GM product, just it's real old school, it's 2,200 pounds.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Mike, so they're building replicas of the Grand Sport, and it's amazing.
Yes.
And I don't give a shit if it's a real one. I take it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and it's a big job taking all those electric motors and making them petrol again.
Yeah, I mean, for some people, you just can't afford, you know, if you want that the excitement and the thrill of owning, say, a Porsche 550 Spyder, but you haven't got the $5 million to pay for one,
exactly.
And you can put one together for, these days, 20 grand out of a Beetle chassis, then you get all the thrill and excitement of owning that car, but without the expense. So I don't see a problem with that.
And what if you owned one and you just took the replica out and just, like, drifting around sides? People go, look what he's doing. $5 million car.
It's amazing. And speaking of the 550s, too, I think in South Africa they're making aluminum bodies.
Yeah, they are.
Right?
They're actually making, really, I mean, that's
which
so
are
authentic.
Like another 50, but still.
And Ken, do you do other, you're mainly Chevrolet, or are you?
Yeah, you know, we've been focused on General Motors products for pretty much the length of time. Company's 45 years old this year. That's been our focus, mostly Corvette, but Camaro, you know, and
so you wouldn't do a 550 for me if you did.
Please.
With a Chevy motor.
One each.
How about
if there was an order for five of them?
Yeah, there we go.
We'll all have one. Remember we said 20 grand.
And we're going to trade a paperclip for him.
I got to think about it now.
I've got a question for you, Ken. Do you remember doing Alex Van Halen's Corvette back in, was it 89?
It would have been about 89.
I remember he showed up to one of the rehearsals in that thing, and he was so proud of it. And I think he blew it up that weekend.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
And I think it was a leased car. This was typical of Alex back in the day. He'd put like $500,000 into a leased car.
We could do a whole show on Van Halen brothers, how they treat their cars.
I just remembered that. Sorry.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, tell us about what are you doing that's similar?
Yeah, like, what's the new stuff? Because you and I sat down and talked about.
I mean, the best thing we've got in the booth right now is a 1,000 horsepower ZL1 Camaro.
Yeah, that thing's nice.
I mean, this thing's amazing.
I have pictures of that, too, if you want to see it.
LT4 engine, 2650 Aldebrock supercharger, runs on pump gas.
It's ridiculous.
You know, you can put regular tires and wheels on it, drive around town, perfect manners, take it out to the drag strip and click off 9.3s and 9.4s.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, let's just...
Unbelievable, actually.
You know, you say that, it just rolls off your tongue so, you know, just casually, but... There was a time when to get a 9 second street car.
I got a 9 second car. Me too.
There was whole magazines devoted to it. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, folks, magazines, they were the printed things that they used to have.
Or you'd have to spend...
It's used to level a table.
You'd have to spend $1 million to buy a Bugatti Veyron to get 1,000 horsepower.
Yeah, exactly.
And now you're just locking them up in the garage.
Or go to Ken's booth. Look, the 9 second cars you're talking about in those magazines back in the day, those cars cost $250,000 to make.
Yes.
So, you know, it cost...
And you couldn't drive them.
Seconds.
They didn't have manners.
Well, and let me tell you, we clicked those 9.3s, 9.4s off in 90 degree heat with lots of humidity. So we're sure these are 8 seconds. Yeah. This is an 8 second car.
Yeah.
So
amazing.
Tell us about some of the Corvette packages. I know that's a big moneymaker for you guys, or it certainly is what the brand has been known for so long. And you and I get together, we start geeking out about it. I mean, the Z06, Z07 packages, I think you guys are doing like a naturally aspirated engine package for that.
We've got naturally aspirated, supercharged. I mean, whatever the customer really wants, what they're going to do, if they're going to road race, as I said, or just go to shows, you know, there's a lot of availability. The 800 horsepower package on the Z06 is a very hot seller. And we're doing a lot with that and having a blast with it.
And how that gets done is somebody just sends you the car, you go ahead and install it, dyno it, warranty it, send it back with your stamp of approval.
Yep.
Right?
I mean, you know, we've warranted our work for all the years we've been in business, so we got to make sure everything is tested and true. And that's just a bulletproof package.
So I know, we saw the ZR1 coming out last year. You love the idea. but also it's like, where do you go from there? Because it's so already sort of turned up to 11, but somehow you fell in love with it. You bought one for yourself. Your wife has one.
Yep.
Your shop has one.
Yep.
And, I don't know how many are out there, but you guys have three of them already.
Yeah. Is there a quantity discount?
Yeah, I wish, yeah.
What about the trucks, too?
What's in store for the ZR1? Like, what are sort of some of the goals for that?
Well, to be very honest with you, you know, the engine management system's pretty locked up pretty tight. So, you know, we haven't been able to do much with it. We know how to make lots of horsepower from the motor, but unless you can manage it, it's a little difficult. So I think they're going to build 2,000, maybe 2,500 of them. Whether it makes sense to go in there and do much more with it or not, I don't know, especially when we know the mid-engine car is coming at some point.
Yeah.
So
2020.
But, I have to tell you, though, just stock out of the box. As you know, Matt, that's my daily driver right now, and I am totally enchanted with this car. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you think about supercars, when you think about bang for the buck, Corvette has always been the best. But I can take it anywhere. I can take it on long trips, short trips, up to the grocery store, you know, leave it overnight in a hotel parking lot. No one's going to kick it or bug it. It is an amazing car. GM has just really hit it out of the park with that.
Yeah, but it's going to get cold soon where you are.
I was just going to say, do you have snow tires for it?
Yeah. You know, and then what? Then you're going to switch
tracks on it. Anyway, right?
We can look after it down here. You can send it down south and we'll look after it.
Well, then you just have to start making four-wheel drive vents.
Well, and we've got a couple of Tahoes that we put that new, you know, with 6.2 engines.
See, now that's the end.
2650 supercharger.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Keep in mind that his winter vehicle is a 900 horsepower Tahoe.
Yeah, exactly.
With all-wheel drive.
Because you're doing the trucks too, right? Didn't we see a truck last year?
Oh yeah, no question about it. I for years I drove an Escalade and everybody would see me in this big old Escalade, and what they really didn't understand is I had over 600 horsepower and long tube headers, you know. Could smoke just about anything on the highway with it. So
I like the look he gets on his face.
Yeah, I could smoke just about anything on the highway with it.
I'm not allowed to tell you what's coming up on my show, Wheeler Dealers, but there may be a Corvette C5 Z06. Maybe.
How about just that? A hint. That was a real subtle hint.
That was.
You're going to flip it on. It's going to be a Mustang convertible from 88.
And
I was wrong.
You know, I got bitten by that bug. You know,
as soon
as I got the underwheel back
on
from 2002, 2003. And put my foot down for the first time, and it just puts that stupid smile on your face, and you're thinking, really, all of this for that much money? Yeah. I'm so smitten by it. It's an amazing car.
If you'd like a little thought process on it, Mike, I can help you out.
Nah. Thank you. Done. Just send me your car down. I told you I'll look after it for you in sunny California for the winter.
Yeah, you know, I could drive your car during the winter.
Oh, yeah, I was there first.
I'm happy to do it.
I was there first.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, we talked about Linkenfelder Performance Engineering, but we can't let you go without talking about the collection as well. You guys do so much over there.
Yeah.
And you're a fixture at every car auction. I don't know how you manage to run the business and then also show up at every single car auction, including dozens we've never even heard of.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of my non-car guy friends seriously think I need psychiatric help, and it's probably true.
It's an outlet. It's not a problem. It's an outlet.
I'll use that, Aaron. I like that.
How many?
It works, right, honey?
We're talking about cars, right?
How many cars in the collection now?
You know, it's 250 total.
Oh, that's wow.
Yeah.
That's it?
Wow. Yeah,
that's it?
We keep about 190 in the facility, but truly the mission for the car collection is always been charity work. It's not open to the public, but we open for charity events, and we did 60 events this year.
Are you open for adopting a new son?
You know what's amazing, though, is how Matt asked him how many, you know, most people, they go, well, I get 9 cars. Yeah, 9. And he's just like, 250. Yeah.
250. It's 250 cars.
This question must come up a lot, you know. But 60 events, 60 charity events a year at that car collection.
Yep.
That's
a big deal.
That's a lot of work. That's a full-time staff now doing events.
Yeah, it's
times
a lot of work.
4 days or 5 days, that's,
you know,
300 days.
I'm such a car geek, though. Having all those cars and not sharing them would just be a real crime. Yeah. There's a lot bigger car collection.
I completely agree. You should share it with Mike and I.
Exactly. Where did you come in, Dave? Yes, I do agree. And I have got a registered charity, so you will be doing a good thing.
Okay.
But Matt, you're absolutely correct, because we see him at Bear Jackson or, you know, one of the Meekum or something, and we watch up, and the very first thing he just kind of looks at you and he goes, I've bought 3 cars so far today, a Camaro, this, and that. Hey, just nice. So subtle about it. It's just matter of fact, and we love it.
Well, the collection's a little eclectic, believe me. There's a few cars in there that people, I've got friends who walk up, put their arm around me, walk up to me and ask me, were you smoking something or drinking something when
did you have beer goggles on when you bought that this. One?
No, but you got to understand what? That there's a handful of the cars, of course, that Ken is absolutely passionate about, but because of all the charity events and the kids that go through, we're at Barrett-Jackson and someone's like, that's the movie from the car from Transformers. Yeah. Ken's like, I'll buy it. I've never seen the movie, but the kids are going to love it.
But what would kids be what would be a car?
That's a true story.
Which is
that's
awesome.
True story.
Yeah. That's a true story.
But that's awesome. A cool car. What's a car you would buy?
Oh
just
my gosh.
Like from childhood or something that you know you probably already did. But.
Well, I did. I mean, the car that really took the legs out from under me back years ago was a split window Corvette. I was 10 years old, and I think that
I chased one down the street one time.
What do you have? 35 of them?
No, actually, just one. But it's a really, really good.
He's got the one.
Yeah,
of course he does.
Well, then what would be an example of something that you said, Ken? Come here. Don't buy that. What would be an example?
Well,
of that?
I'll tell you what. There's a car that they built called a Zimmer Quicksilver.
Oh boy!
Oh, yeah. I remember those.
Uh-huh. That was cool.
Actually, they
I wouldn't buy
off,
it, but
they were built off of Fieros. Yeah. But and I'm sure you guys know about Bring a Trailer.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And so, I mean, what a great sight! I'm on that thing every morning. Passed up a Porsche,
nice.
Turbo Porsche yesterday. I'm still kicking myself over it, but
they're sitting there right now, going, "Ken's not logged in. Something's going wrong.
Where is he?"
Do you Bring a Trailer? Me and you must send the owner of that site and his family on an extended vacation to Florida every year.
There you go.
Because the amount of money I spend on that site is incredible.
Unfortunately, we got to wrap this edition of Shift and Stare Up, guys. But I just want to end it with, I'm going to send a trailer to pick up that Corvette. I'll take care of it over the winter, okay?
All right.
You're into Bring a Trailer, I'll send a trailer.
No worries, Brad.
Guys, check out Lingenfelder.com. You can see all the great stuff that they're doing. And I think LingenfelderCollection.com?
Right. Yep.
Okay.
And you can follow him on Twitter also and see him when he's at the auctions. What is that?
Oh, yeah. I do on my own Twitter.
Just Ken Lingenfelter,
just
right?
Just Ken Lingenfelter.
Yes.
Yep. So where is the museum?
It's in Brighton, Michigan.
Brighton, Michigan, everybody.
So
it's not for the public, but you can drive past.
And Matt, where can they find Shift and Stare online?
You know, you can check us out at shiftandsteer.com, and all of our social media is at Shift Steer Media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everywhere. Hey guys, if you like this show, you're going to love the new Underdog Sports Network on Podcast One from Chris Horridel. Check out all the exciting shows on the Underdog Sports Network every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. All right, guys, thanks again to Continental. Definitely check them out at oetechnologyseries.com. And, of course, Amsoil. Go to amsoil.com/shift.
Let's hear it for our guest, Mike Brewer.
Hey, Mike.
And Ken Lingenfelter. Thanks, guys, for taking time from SEMA to go. And you know what? You can find Aaron at Aaron Hagar, Rat Runner's Garage. You can find me, Bradley_Fanch on Instagram, and Matt at Motorator.
Yeah, Motorator. I'm on all the social media.
Motorator.
And Dave, you can find at Man Seeks Adventure.
Mike, you can
Mike
find
Brewer?
Everywhere.
Yeah, just Mike Brewer on all forms of social media, and you'll find me.
Okay, everybody, we'll be back tomorrow at 1:45. So when you're waiting in line for somebody else, you'll be able to see us.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.